All right, so here's what I want to share with you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. That was the message came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This was Jesus coming. And I want you to understand primarily who he's writing to is the Jews there. In all of those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's telling them, listen, is this what did John the Baptist say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I heard Les talked about repentance last week. You guys know what repentance is? Metanoia, where we get the word knowledge. Change your knowledge. Change what you believe, is what he said. So the kingdom of heaven is spiritual. That's what you guys need to understand. It's a spiritual kingdom. So he goes, in order for you to participate in the kingdom, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to believe the right things. Does that make sense to you? So that's what he was doing. Hey, listen, I know you're on this law thing. So imagine how radical that is. They're doing all this stuff and the Sabbath and everything else. Then all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and goes, you don't have to do any of that. In fact, you don't have to do anything. All I have to do is believe I did it for you. Can you imagine that? So you see how hard it was for them to metanoia, to change their mind. And so I just think we're the same way. And a lot of believers, they go, it can't be that good. So my job is to give you how good it is so you can change your belief system. Amen? And the Old Testament are types and shadows. Jesus was the fulfillment. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says, you know what? All those were types and shadows of good things that are going to come. Not bad things. Right? That's why I have trouble even with all of the harbinger and all that kind of stuff. I go, those were all testaments to good things that are going to come. Does that make sense to you guys? So, yeah, I'm not going to get into there now because people get all upset. But if it's not good, it's not the gospel. Does that make sense? It has to be good. Because these are all types and shadows that we can hope for. We have a confident expectation of good things. Amen? And then Hebrews 11 says, but now, those were all types and shadows back then, but now, what? Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the very thing. So he's yet, all of those Old Testament types and shadows are now yes, because he's the title deed. He's the fulfillment of that. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what I want to show you. His message was, listen, you can have the kingdom of heaven right now, but you're going to have to change what you believe. And that'll never change. For them to get into the promised land, what did they have to do? Believe. And that was a type and shadow. So for us to get into, that was a land flowing in milk and honey. Things were going to happen. Now, here's where I want you to think about this, though. So he goes, I've promised you, you're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to drink from wells you didn't dig. It's going to be awesome in there. But was there trouble in there, too? There were ites in there, right? All the ites. I don't know them all. I don't care because I haven't taken the time to study them. I'm sure they all mean really cool things, like, hey, I'm going to drive. But he goes, see, this is why I think we don't believe we live in the kingdom right now, because we go, well, the world looks like this. It looked like that to them, too. Does that make sense? Yet, was it all reality for them? In fact, the Israelites, when they finally came in 40 years later, Rahab's going, man, we were waiting for you. We've been waiting all this time. But you were worried about us? Are you kidding me? We were worried about you, and we just wondered why you were sitting there for 40 years. See, you can have everything right now is my message to you. Does that make sense? Well, it can't be the kingdom of heaven right now because look at the world. Hey, those are the 10 spies, man. They gave a negative report, but two had a different spirit. Man, I know there's trouble, but guess what? We can reign on earth right now. We can go into this promised land right now despite the ites. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, so I don't care about the termites, the Canaanites, the Ekites, all that. They're still here. They were there. It'll never change. Everybody's waiting for utopia. You're supposed to bring utopia to your situation on earth is what you're supposed to do. Amen? Just like that, there were termites. There's still termites here. Does that make sense to you guys? So everybody's waiting for this utopia. And he goes, no, it already is utopia. How you're going to experience it is what you believe. That's the same way we get into the same way they could get in. But Jesus is the better one. Does that make sense to you guys? So I want to show you, I'm going to go through some Old Testament types and shadows, but I want you to see Jesus in it. Does that make sense? Because when you start, man, I was telling Barbara, I go, man, this thing's exploding to me when I start understanding some of this. The scriptures are just like, wow, this is so, I got to forget everything. I got to metanoia. I got to forget everything I ever learned. Honestly, I was like, I messed up because I went to Bible school. So, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, despite what your Bible study tells you. Okay? All right, Matthew 17:1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. Now, you've heard Joseph Prince talk about this. Who's Peter, James, and John? Peter's the rock, the stones, right? James is Jacob. It's another word for Jacob, the supplanter, replaces. John is God's love and grace, Yohanan. So when Moses went up the mountain, he came down. What did he come down with? The stones. When he takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, what does he come down with? The stones were replaced by God's love and grace. So the Old Testament was a shadow. He gave us the law. The New Covenant, when he comes down the mountain, he gives us Peter, James, and John. Does you guys understand that? So that's not the part I wanted to get to, but it's just kind of cool. All right, they led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Who are Moses and Elijah? The law and the prophets, right? And they witnessed to who? Jesus. And I think in Revelation, people go, who are the two witnesses? The law and the prophets. Because it's... You should know by the time you get there what all these things mean. The law, the witnesses are who? The law and the prophets. Does that make sense? So, all right. Behold, the law and the prophets, I'm just going to do that. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles, what was that all about? You guys understand that? God's going to dwell with us, right? So Peter's still not getting this. He goes, you know what? We're going to live with the law, we're going to live with the prophets, and we're going to live with Jesus. We're going to tabernacle with all those. We'll just mix them a little bit. You guys understand that? God's not having any of that, is he? See, a lot of you guys are still trying to tabernacle with it all. He goes, he's living with you, is he not? The law is the end of righteousness to everyone who believes, yet we still want to add it. So he goes, no, you're not going to tabernacle with the law. You're not going to tabernacle with the prophets. Jesus was the fulfillment of that. All you're going to tabernacle with is him. You're going to have the Feast of Tabernacles with him. He's going to live with you. Where does he live right now? In us. Hallelujah. We're the tabernacle in the New Testament is what it says. You guys understand that? Praise God. He lives with us. Hallelujah. So I don't need a guy to come anoint me. The anointing is in me. And I'm in him. Man, the more you get that, the more you just walk anointed. I'm just telling you, it's just... Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking to them. Then Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, this is awesome. The law of the prophets and Jesus is here. He goes, ain't having it. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. All right, verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Only listen to him. Shut up law, shut in prophets, whoever just said that. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Now, can we learn from the law and the prophets? Yes, but we have to go find Jesus in there because that gives us the truth behind that. Does that make sense to you guys? So he goes, the only thing you're going to listen to after that is Jesus, which is the Father, and the Father's in him, and he's in us. And what did the Father say to Jesus when he came out of the water in the River Jordan? This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. So what is he saying about you? This is my beloved Son and daughter. I'm well pleased with you because you're hidden in him. You guys get it? All right. So then I'm going to go into the Old Testament and show you some cool things that are coming out of here. Hear him, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Now that's really interesting. If you go look, some of you guys have a Sedna Reference Bible. This is where I was freaking out watching the Yankees game last night, and they lost, by the way. But they split with the Rangers. Where's Chad? They split with the Rangers, man. So, but I'm going through these Sedna References and going, this whole thing is not about what people teach. This whole thing, you know, all the Sedna References, because it says, let me keep going. I'll get off track. Because that's, I didn't know which scriptures to use today. I'm like, this whole thing is exploding on me. Going, I get this stuff. Not that I have, I'm not trying to say I know all this stuff. I'm like, he's just revealing stuff to me. I'm like, this is so awesome, Lord. So now my job is to give it to you. Does that make sense? All right. So I'm just getting excited about it, though. I go, I could use 1,000 scriptures, but I know you got to go barbecue. So, and I want a barbecue too, trust me, it's fun to me. So, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. You know what that's referencing is Micah 4:5, and it says, he goes, when you see the destruction, you're going to freak out and fall on your face, and Jesus is going to come and lift you up and say, be not afraid. That's also what's prophesied in Daniel. When Daniel saw that vision, he fell on his face afraid, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, I lift you up. So there, now, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, who did they see? Jesus only. See, the law and the prophets are going to go away. Does that make sense? But they saw that in the vision. They heard what Jesus was going to say. He's talking to the Jews. He goes, listen, there's going to be time. The law and the prophets are going to come to an abrupt end. I'm going to give you one more generation, 40 years. But then there's going to be those old covenant things. The wrath of God's going to appear. Whoa, and they were freaked out. Does that make sense? All right, go. If you have a Sedna Reference Bible, go look what he's quoting here. He's quoting Micah 4:5 and 4:6, I believe it is. Rise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but him only, not the law and the prophets. Now, as they came down from the mountain, see, when Moses came down, he brought the tablets. hey, do these things, but all it would do is expose how bad you are. Does that make sense? But the new covenant, it says, hey, if the government of condemnation was glorious, the system, the old covenant system of the law, how much more glorious the covenant of affirmation. It says the new covenant tells you what's right with you. Hallelujah. So that's what he's saying here. And they now as they came down from the mountain, so when Moses came down, he brought the stones. When Jesus came down, he said, I've replaced the stones with God's grace. We moved from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. You guys getting all this? If you just take scripture and try build word of faith from there, it's going to mess you up because you don't know what you're talking about. But you need to know, hey, listen, you're not under the covenant of the law anymore. That's been replaced by Jacob, replaced it. And when Jacob believed, what was he called? Israel. So the stones were Jacobed or replaced with Yohanan, God's grace. You guys get it? Okay, so tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. All right, now keep going. Verse 10, and the disciples asked him, saying, hey, wait a minute. This destruction of the law and the prophets, Micah 4:5 says this, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Let me have Micah 4:5 handy. I want somebody to read it real quick. Or Malachi, sorry, bud. Yeah, Malachi. Scratch all that. Malachi. Yes, I'm sorry, not Micah. Wrong M. In fact, Micah is in Whale Island today. He's in Orca Island. So you keep telling me. He told me about 5 times in a row. Mike, if you're watching, I know where you are. You're in Orca Island. So behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So what did Jesus show him here? Why were they afraid and fell to their face? What would cause them to go, wait a minute, I thought you were going to show us Elijah before that thing. So he showed them the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because otherwise they wouldn't respond with this. Wait a minute, you said you were going to send Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The great and dreadful day of the Lord was when the law and the prophets were, that old system of law was completely destroyed and all they were going to see was Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. His disciples asked him, saying, why then did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. So the Old Testament was a type and shadow. All right? Now, where it says Elijah, restore all things, what is restore? I want to show you this. This is pretty cool. Properly restore back to the original standing, i.e., that existed before a fall, reestablish, return back to the ultimate. How many of you guys know that he came to restore and return you back to the ultimate? You don't have to wait for it. He's already done it. And I'm going to show you. He says, Elijah's already come. And I'm going to show you, if that was a type and shadow, if he was Elijah, who was Elisha? See, this is at the River Jordan. You guys understand this? I'm losing some of you, but let me keep going. So, returning back to the ultimate ideal, figuratively restore back to full freedom. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So he goes, Elijah was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came to restore you back to the ultimate and ideal where man was in the garden. You guys get this? All right. So is that good news? Yeah. So see, we're still waiting for this thing, but what did God say? He already came. You just missed him. Because you're waiting for Elijah, but that was a type and shadow. The real Elijah is John the Baptist. And the real Elisha is Jesus Christ. He says, you know what? When you cross the Jordan, what was Elisha's... I'm going to show you this next. Sorry. Getting ahead of myself. Because everybody's looking for the man of God to give them a double anointing, right? But Elijah was John the Baptist. So Elisha in the River Jordan was Jesus. And he said, you know what? Elijah, I want a double anointing from you. A double portion, right? And here's what Elijah said. Man, it's tough. But if you can see me, you'll have it. If you can see that Elijah was John the Baptist and Elisha was Jesus, you have a double anointing. You guys get this? Not quite. I can tell by your silence. So anyway, let's just take it as Scripture says. Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. Let's keep going. But I say to you, Elijah has come already. Because the real Elijah was John the Baptist. Isn't that cool? But I say to you, Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. That's why Elijah says to Elisha, if you can see me, if you can understand this, if you have revelation of who I am, then you can have the double anointing. Because Jesus got the double anointing of the firstborn. And the firstborn always got the double anointing so they could take care of the rest of their family. But how many of you guys know, if he got the double anointing, I'm a joint heir, what do you have? You have the double anointing. And Jesus said that too. He said, hey, up until now, John the Baptist was the greatest of any man that was ever born of a woman. But he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Are you in the kingdom? Then you are greater than John the Baptist. Amen? You guys get it? It's so powerful when you understand this. These are all types and shadows. He's fulfilling all this is what he's doing. And we're trying to teach this thing. Just no wonder Christians are messed up. So, did I say to you, Elijah has come already? They did not know him, but did do him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Whoa, I get it now. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. See, the Old Covenant was types and shadows. Jesus, all these things that are happening in the New Testament are the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises. Does that make sense? So, if John the Baptist was Elijah, and there's all kinds of things that happened in the River Jordan. Well, you know what? He was in the Old Covenant when they were kind of come over out of Egypt. He says, listen, when you see the high priest enter into the River Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, now you know it's time to go into the Promised Land. Right? John the Baptist was the son of who? Zechariah. Yeah, Elizabeth too. You're right. That's a trick question. All the above, right? For all you SAT, ACT people, man, that's a good one. All the above is really good a lot of times. You got a 50-50 shot. So I was good at that. So I have no Lord. I'm all above. Let's do all these. So I did pretty good. So anyway, he was a priest. Does that make sense? Zechariah was his father who gave birth to John the Baptist. So he was a priest. So when the Old Testament, when the priest carried the ark, who's the ark? The real ark. Jesus says, when you see the priest carrying the ark into the River Jordan, now you can know that all those promises are now yours. Jesus is the fulfillment. He sees John the Baptist, who's the son of Zechariah, the priest, coming with the real ark out of the water. Jesus Christ himself, he goes, now you guys can know this is the fulfillment. You can all enjoy the promised land right now. Was there stuff in the promised land? Yes, all the ites were there. Is there stuff in our earth today? Yes, but those promises are yes. Does that make sense? We're still waiting for this glorious thing where everything works perfectly. It goes, everybody's waiting for you. It says that. The scripture says the world is waiting for you. And then we put it off some other time going, but I'm waiting for something else. And you will not enter in for the same reason they didn't enter in, because you don't believe it's true right now. So I'm trying to go, it's true right now. Stop the nonsense. Amen? Elijah was John the Baptist. Jesus was Elisha. You can have a double anointing right now. See, those were just types and shadows. He's the real thing, man. He's the good stuff. You guys getting this a little bit more now? All right. So, then the disciples understood that he spoke to them, the John the Baptist. Now let's go to these Old Testament things and we'll be done. All right? Let me just show you something. 2 Kings 2:9. I already showed you one. It says, you know what? When you see the priest carrying the ark into the River Jordan, now you know it's time to go into and cross the Jordan and go into your promised land. Who's our promised land today? Jesus is our rest. Jesus, all those promises are the fulfillment of him. Because you're in him and a joint heir with him, he's moved away sin as far as the east is from the west. You're out of Egypt. You're even out of the church. You're out of the called out ones, the church in the wilderness. It's time to go into the very thing, what he really wanted, the promises of God. That you can enjoy the work of another man. That's what he said. The Old Testament was a shadow. Listen, you're going to live in houses you didn't build and dwells you didn't dig. There's going to be land flowing with milk and honey. Guess what? There's going to be ites in there. So don't let that throw you off. Follow me? That's throwing the church off forever. Well, when Jesus comes, this is what's going to happen. No, it says this is going to be on earth. But rejoice because what? I've overcome that. Isn't that what he told them? Hey, just go and I'm going to drive those guys back. You just go and inhabit the land and I'm going to drive all the ites back for you. He's saying the same thing today. I know it looks bad, but you just go in there and I'll drive them out for you. By faith, that's how it works. If it looks like it's all going, what are we supposed to do? Thank you, Father. I would take communion if it helps you. Lord, this is a covenant and you're the baddest man on the planet. Right? Rumiko, I think Brock Lesnar thinks he is, but Jesus really is. Right? That's July 9. We're going to watch that together? Because Frankie's fighting, right? Yeah. You guys know he's a world-class fighter. He knows all the... They all train with him. Isn't that cool? So if I get in a fight, I'm bringing Rumika with me. And so it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, all right, who was Elijah? John the Baptist, right? Said to Elisha, who was in the river? In the New Testament, Jesus and John the Baptist. There's nobody else in the river, so it can only be Elisha. Does that make sense? The man with the double anointing, the double portion. Hallelujah. And see, people don't know. Jesus, when the disciples said, hey, when they didn't believe, you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did. And what did Jesus do to them? Wrong covenant, guys. You don't know which spirit you're operated in. I came as Elisha. All the miracles, the judgment, God's fire, etc., with Elijah. Jesus, Elisha, was what? First thing he does, he makes an axe. Somebody who's in debt and can't pay it, he makes the axe head float. Right? He raises the Shunammite woman's son from dead. Now, this one might throw you off, but there are also 42 kids running around. And he got irritated, and the bears came and ate 42 kids. Like, that doesn't sound like Elisha. But you got to understand what it is. There were 42 stations between Egypt to the Promised Land. There were 42 stations in the temple. He goes, you know what? I'm going to devour all that up. See how weird we can get? Elisha wasn't that. That's not his spirit. He didn't come to devour them. He came to save them. He goes, what I came up to devour was this old system of operating with me. And all I'm going to do is grace and love. Isn't that cool? The law and the temple, all that stuff, I devoured it. There's a new one. That would throw you off otherwise. You think bears came and ate 42 kids. That doesn't sound like Jesus. So, but if we don't get it, that means we don't get it. There's something else going on there. Does that make sense? So that's why people go, the Bible says this. I go, man, it says lots of things. It's just whether you can rightly divide it and understand what it's actually trying to say. So if you think Jesus came to eat 42 little kids, you're just sorry. So you don't know what spirit you're under. You're under that old covenant Elijah spirit, but he goes, you know what? Once you cross the Jordan, there's going to be a new one. And it's Elisha. The salvation of Jesus is what it says. The salvation of God is what Elisha means. And Elisha did twice as many miracles, 28 versus Elijah's 14. And guess what? You have that same anointing. Because you're in him. Isn't that cool? All right, so I'm getting off track. Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. What did Jesus tell them? He goes, I tell you the truth, Elijah's already come. So if you see that was Elijah, guess what you get? The double portion, man. But if you don't, you're not going to benefit from it. If you think it's just a biblical story, you're not going to understand this. You guys get it? So you can participate in the double anointing right now. Isn't that cool? All that means is he favors you. He's going to be good to you. He's going to heal you. He's going to prosper you. All those are yes and amen despite the ites in your life right now. You just have to have a different spirit. Go, I don't care what this is going on. This is a covenant, Lord. And I am beloved and well-favored, and you're well-pleased with me. So things will happen to me that doesn't happen to anybody else because I see why you came. You guys get it? That's the news. Is that good news? That's better than going, you know what, God's going to strike you down because you didn't follow this law. That would do nothing for that guy in Thailand. Nothing. It didn't change him because that was the wrong spirit they're operating under. Amen? We're supposed to have the gospel of record. Now, I'm not condoning it. That's what people don't get. I go, I just know the solution for sin is not to tell them how bad they are. The solution for sin is to tell them what Jesus did for them. He's not mad at you, guy, who you're trying to buy that two-year-old. In fact, he loves you perfectly. And when you get that, you won't exhibit these works of the flesh any longer. You'll start to operate in love, joy, peace, the fruits. You guys get it? All right, so he said that you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see what's really going on here, guess what? It shall be so for you. It shall be so. So if you see that Jesus came and we restored back everything, he got the double anointing, the old covenant of Elijah is gone, the new covenant of Elisha, God's salvation is here. You guys get it? All right, let's just show you one more and then we'll be done. You guys enjoying this at all or no? Okay, sometimes I'm like, man, I get all weird about it. I love this stuff when you start understanding what it's all about. All right? What was John the Baptist's message? Okay? Here's John the Baptist's message. Matthew 3, and I could go through multiple ones, but Matthew 3, 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What is he trying to do? The church is still in the wilderness for the most part in the United States and everywhere. We're still the called out ones, the ecclesia. We're called out from Egypt. We're called out from sin, but we're not in the promised land, most of us. Does that make sense? So, he's still in the wilderness, but what is he saying? Change what you believe. The kingdom of heaven is right now. So guess what my message is? Change what you believe. The kingdom of heaven is right now. Does that make sense? So he goes, if you can change what you believe, guess what? You're no longer be in the wilderness. You're going to go into the promised land. You guys get this? Did everybody want to go into the promised land in the old covenant? Yes, everybody wanted to get there, right? All I have to do is believe? That can't be it. It's the same today, I'm just telling you. It's the same today. That's why people pay millions and millions of dollars to be around people that encourage them, inspire them, etc. Because it comes natural to us to not believe. It's a natural condition. We have to so focus on the promises of God that they ultimately become you. Does that make sense to you guys? So, all right. So, hey, if you want to get out of the wilderness, guess what your solution is? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand right now. Change what you believe, not stop sinning. You keep stop sinning, you're going to do more of sinning. You're going to be Paul in Romans 7. Man, I want to get in the promised land. Lord, I promise I'll be better next week. And then you can bless me. You know what you're going to do? Things I don't want to do, I do. You're going to talk to me and I go, the works of the flesh are evident, man. You don't know God loves you perfectly and he's forgiven you 100%. You're still trying to perform, which is why you're not doing what you want to do. But when you just go, Lord, I am mildly stupid, yet in you I'm perfect. That's why I can enjoy the fruits in heaven right now. You guys get it? Okay, so John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said what? Hey, that lamb that took him out of Egypt, this was the real one that takes you out of your sin. You're no longer a slave. I'm going to bring you into sonship. That's John the Baptist's message, and that was Elijah. He was telling me, hey, repent, do all these different things. But the real one was John the Baptist, and the real Elisha was Jesus. And he said, if you see this, you can have the double anointing. You can go from the wilderness into the promised land. And the promised land today is all of Jesus' promises. See, the rest, here's where people get confused. Enter into his rest. Meaning, he did all of the work, and because the work was finished, what did he do? He sat down. Exactly right. Where the high priest in the old covenant, did they ever sit down? No, because the work was not finished. And it says that. It said, listen, if those old sacrifices would have worked, they wouldn't have to keep doing them because there would be no more remembrance of sin. So the whole idea was, I got sin out of the way for you guys. It takes the church to put it back on you. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just telling you, I grew up in that. So what I grew up was tabernacled with the law, the prophets, and Jesus. And I'm like, guys, no, that's a mess. You don't know which end is up. So there's no surety. There's no confidence. Well, we just never know. God doesn't know. Yet Paul in the New Covenant always says, I do these things so you can be sure. Jesus said, I want you to be sure. I'm showing you this is my body and my blood. This is a covenant relationship I'm going to have with you, and I'll never break it because I can't die again. And you guys all know covenants. If blood is shed, if they were going to break a covenant, you got to die, and I'm not going to die again because I have eternal life, so you can be confident of my covenant. Amen. Well, what do I have to do? Believe. No, it can't be that good. No way. We can't have heaven on earth. Look at the world. It's a mess. Right? Yet the secular world's going and kicking our butt and leaving us behind. I go, I'm just ticked off. I go, I want you guys to be there. Follow me? Well, the enemy's just blessing them. Shut up. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. They just believe stuff that you don't. Now, is there a rest for their conscience? No, I get it. So they're having wealth with sorrows. You can have it all with no sorrow. That's what it says. Because you get it from him. But does he want you to have it? Yes. Now, 1,000 of you give me $1,000, then you can participate in the anointing. No, if you see, that's why people don't believe it. Because that nonsense they see on TV. You guys get it? I'm trying to do my best to just go, man, it's real, it's for you. Enjoy it. If not, I'm going to go enjoy it, and you'll be mad at me. But I'm not going to feel bad, honestly. As soon as you want to come, let's come. That's Beth. We were talking about that with Chad and Beth. I go, man, I want you to come because I don't want to leave you guys behind. Stuff's happening. Doug Bishop was just telling me this testimony. This guy, he sold life insurance because that's some of the industry he's in. This guy was worth like $4 billion. And he goes, nah, I've seen life insurance. And this guy just showed him a little technique and his commission was $100 million. I go, Doug, God's no respecter of persons. He can do that for you. That's in your future, man. I'm telling you. Well, who do you think God is? Man, I can see that. He was Elisha. I get the double anointing. You guys get it? Or stay tabernacle with the old stuff. It'll make you weak and beggarly. In fact, can I just share one thing with you and then we're done? Okay. No, I promise I'm done. I'm still okay. All right. Hey, you know what I want to do? Right after this, where Mark, let's read this from Mark 9 once. I just know, you know what, because I believe this is taught so incorrectly, this will help some of you guys based on your faith. If you don't know what he's talking about here, you can take this completely wrong. So go to Mark 9, and right after Jesus is going, hey, listen, all right, so if you go like Mark 9, 12, this is just the version out of Mark versus Matthew. Indeed, Elijah's coming first and restores all things. Brings us back to the ultimate, is literally what that word restores means. Isn't that cool? He brought you back to the ultimate before the fall, is what it says. And Jesus said, and he's already done that. He's already come. But we're still waiting for it. Elijah's coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things, be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has already come. So that means he already did all that, right? But I say that Elijah has already come. They did to him whatever they wished. And then, you know, Matthew says, now we get it that you're talking about John the Baptist. Verse 14 is where I want to get, because this is where a lot of the teaching gets, where people think he's trying to cast the demon out and you can't cast it out because you don't have enough faith. I'm going to show you that's not what this is talking about. He's talking about unbelieving Israel. And I can prove it to you. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them. Where did they just come down? He just came down from the mountain. We saw that in Matthew 17. And he replaced the old covenant, which the scribes and the lawyers and the Sadducees were all professionals at, right? He says, but I replaced those stones with God's grace and love. So, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with him. What are scribes experts at? The law. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. That ticks them off because they wanted all the public awareness. And he asked the scribes, hey boys, what are you doing? What are you talking to him about? Because the law and the prophets witnessed to me. They just saw me, and you guys are out here don't know what this is all about. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Didn't he just talk about John the Baptist? Yeah. Who was John the Baptist's father again? Zechariah. Zechariah didn't believe, so what happened to him? Couldn't speak. But faith speaks this wise. I believe and therefore I speak. He cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. They're hearing but never hearing, so they don't speak. They don't proclaim the good news. You guys get this? And all these teaching I have is because you don't have, you're mixing belief and unbelief, and that's why you can't cast this out. That is not what this is talking about. I promise you it's not what it's talking about. And if you teach that, you know what? You give people no assurance. That, guys, if you command a demon to come out, is it optional for that demon? Nay. You guys get it? But I know that sounds a rattle some of you guys, because, well, yeah, that's not what I've been taught my whole life. He's talking about the law of spirit. I'm going to prove this to you, okay? What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered, hey, you know what? He has a mute spirit. The priests, the covenant, old covenant preachers don't have faith, so they don't speak. You guys get this? And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, and becomes rigid. You know what it says in the old covenant? Isaiah said, listen, the watchmen of Israel have become mute like dogs. And if you get out any other way but through him, the narrow door, there's going to be gnashing of teeth and it's going to tear you to pieces. It says, if you get out by the law, they're going to teach you, this is how you get saved by the law. You know what's going to be there? See that spit? That's foaming at the mouth. That's what I'm telling you is what happens to this kid. They're all they're giving him is the law and it's tearing him to pieces. And all there is gnashing of teeth. And gnashes his teeth and becomes so rigid. What does that sound like to you? The law, man. So I spoke to your disciples that shit could cast it out, but they couldn't. Why? Because they're still tabernacling with the scribes, man. They're messing around with them. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation. The word generation is genea, which means this race, this generation of people. Okay? How long shall I be with you? See, what he's doing is, listen, you're still operating on the old law generation, this generation. Man, is there any faith that you just believe that I'm the fulfillment of all of that? That's what he's talking about. So, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. What do you guys know in the New Testament? What do we need to do? Don't go mess around with the people who tell you you can't do anything, the scribes, the religious teachers of the day. Go straight to him. Amen? Then he brought him to him, and when he saw, immediately the spirit convulsed and fell on the ground and wallowed. Hey, listen, when Jesus came and he said, when he was before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, and he would proclaim, I am the Son of Man, what did they do? They tore their garments and they gnashed their teeth. They convulsed. You guys get this? The legalism is what's killing this kid. Then they brought to him, and then when they saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, so that old covenant spirit of the law. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at his mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Listen, if you're born under the law, what do you need to be? born again. You've been this way since birth. You've been birthed out of the law. This is all you got. This is all it's going to do to you. It's going to cause you to foam, tear you apart. How many of you guys feel torn apart by religion a lot of times? So I'm telling you. And often he has thrown both him and the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Now he's asking the right thing. Jesus said to him, if you can believe. So he's talking about, hey, you're a faithless generation because all you focus on is the law, right? But if you can believe, what was belief? That Jesus is the yes and amen to all those things. Does that make sense to you guys? So he goes, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's why scripture says, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's not a level, guys. It's how much do you see Jesus has done for you? If you believe Jesus has finished it all, you can have it all. But he told his disciples, listen, you have little faith. Really? That's all you see me as? And the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion, they're not even in the covenant, yet they know I'm good, and they ask for stuff, and I give it to them. That's faith, that they can have it for free, even though they're not part of the covenant. We haven't seen this kind of faith in Israel, is what Jesus said. You guys get this? Let me keep going. I hope you're getting this. How long has it been happening to him? Hey, this is how he was born. If you're born on the law, that's who you are. And often he has thrown him both in the fire and the water. Guys, fire and water. You know what? When John the Baptist, when the old covenant priests brought into the River Jordan the Ark of the Covenant, the water was backed up to where? A city named Adam. When you see the real high priest going into the River Jordan, just know your sin is backed up all the way to Adam as if nobody's ever sinned. Hey, when I bring them to your disciples, I bring them to all the scribes, you know what they give them? Fire and judgment, water. And it tears them up, it causes them to gnash at their teeth. And often he has thrown them both into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion. Now he's getting to Jesus. If you can believe, listen, all you need to do is believe I'm who I say I am, and I'm going to move sin all the way back to the city called Adam, and now you can go into the promised land as if it's never happened. I'm going to restore you to the ultimate ideal. Hallelujah. All right. Immediately the father of the crowd cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is where we get all this teaching. Well, you need to have enough faith because you mix this and mix that. I go, that's just garbage, man. Does that give you any assurance? He's talking about the law spirit. All right. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean. Go look up unclean. Do this as a little test today. Go look up unclean in the concordance or Strong's. You know what it's going to say? Adulterated because of mixture. He's not talking about the demon. He's talking about the spirit of self-righteousness. He rebuked the unclean spirit. Listen, you're trying to be good in your own efforts, and it's tearing you apart, and it's causing you to gnash at teeth and foam, and all you do is you fall into fire and water, judgment. You guys get this? He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit. That is talking about the nation of Israel. I'm just telling you, it's the unbelieving Israel. He says, you know what? Because the spirit of faith speaks in this wise. We believe and speak, but the spirit of the law says, I'm deaf and I can't speak. You guys get this? So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to proclaim the good news. Amen? But the law can't speak because they know they're all guilty. That's why Jesus said, listen, hey, he was among you. Condemn them. And they all went away silent. You guys get this? And we're trying to teach you that it's about your faith. It has nothing to do. Faith was like, hey, under the law covenant, you can't do this, but under Jesus, all things are possible. All right? Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter in him no more. Hey, I don't want this law spirit ever again to be taught, is what he's telling them. And that's where it says, you know what, if you cast out the old covenant of the law spirit and you don't replace it with the Holy Spirit, you know what you're going to do? You're going to replace it with seven more evil. Evil is works-based. You used to have a lamb that you could bring, but you know what? When you reject Christ, you know what you're going to do? It's going to be 100%. Seven is the number of perfection or complete. You're going to base this covenant on complete works. And we think he's going to bring seven more... Now it is. He goes, I'm going to replace it with 100% works. You used to have a little grace mixed in here, Israel. You get rid of me, there's not even going to be a lamb, man. You're going to replace it with 100% works. Isn't that what the church has done today, unfortunately? So, then the Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly. Listen, the religious leaders to this day, they don't like it, man. They gnash their teeth, they spit, they send me emails, they do all kinds of things. I don't care. I'm enjoying life. I'm eating my hot dog with no issues. Relax. full of nonsense, full of whatever, MGO, everything. Nathan's, they're good. Hebrew Nationals are good too. Then the Spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly. See, I even say that, people are like, you can't say that. And he's become as one dead, so that he is dead. Hey, that old law spirit, guess what? You're dead to it. But what's going to happen to him? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him, and he rose. Hallelujah. Isn't that what he warned him about? He said, listen, when you see John the Baptist, when you see Elijah, this old law thing is going to be torn down to shreds, and it's going to as if you're dead, but guess what? I'm the one who's going to lift you up from the dead. Okay? Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? So he said to him, this kind, go look up this word too, look up kind. How many of you guys think he's talking about the demon? Ain't talking about the demon. This genos, the word he used for demon is different. He said, this faithless generation, it's the same word, genos. He goes, this race and generation of the law can only come out by prosuke, proclamation. Now, some of you guys see fasting there, but how many of you guys know the original text doesn't have it? In Matthew or here, there's no fasting there. It says, listen, this religious spirit can only come out by proclaiming the good news. It has nothing to do with you being able to cast out that demon. Guys, you want to cast out the demon, that demon comes out. Because every knee bows. So stop worrying about whether you have enough unbelief. He's talking about, hey, whether do you believe in the new covenant or do you believe in the old? But you know what? If you've got an unclean one, adulterated by mixture, you can't do anything. It's going to tear you up. The harder you try to be a good Christian, the worse it's going to get. Don't let that mixture spirit come out. This generation can only come out by proclaiming the good news. Prosuke. It's prayer. Oh, you know what? But if you look up fasting, you know what it is? It's fasting. It's like fasting and food. But you know the other word for this? The exact same word for fasting is? Day of Atonement. It's the exact same word. Okay. Anybody have an NIV here? Who's got an NIV? Martin, look up Matthew 17:21. Not there. I'll save you some time. It's not there. You can look at it when you go home. It's not there. Why not? If you look in your center reference Bible, again, it says added by the translators. In Mark 9, yeah, isn't it? See, it's almost like the good news is way too good. You mean we don't have to do anything for this? No, you got to pray and fast for this. The price of holiness. It's the price of the anointing. Jesus said, this faithless generation, that all it is law, it can only come out by one thing, proclamation, preaching the good news. How will they know unless somebody preaches it, is what it says in Romans, right? But when they hear it and believe it, guess what? They have the spirit of faith, and so they're not mute and deaf anymore. You know what they do? They believe, and therefore they speak. You guys get it? It has nothing to do with whether your level of unbelief or belief. It has to do about mixing the law with grace. And if you think if you're trying to do that, listen, that's what James talks about too. If you're double-minded in any way, you're not going to get it. But you got to be Jesus only, grace only, by faith through grace, not of yourself. It's a gift. Amen? The scribes, in context, you guys see what I'm talking about? He's talking about Zachary. He was just talking about John the Baptist. He goes, listen, the reason none of these law guys can share the good news because they know they're all guilty. They all go away mute. So Jesus comes around and goes, hey, why couldn't we cast this religious spirit out? The only thing that can cast it out is proclamation of the good news. It has to be replaced with something else. It has to, when the house is swept out, you don't replace it with something else, man, it's 100% works is going to come in. You guys get this? Does that help you at all? So stop worrying about, it's so contradictory. Well, you need a faith and unbelief, mixture and balance and all this stuff. Like, no wonder the church is like, Lord, I give up. I want to punt on third. I don't even want another down, right? Because I give up. I'm trying to tell you the good news. You got it all, man. There's nothing. Listen, you proclaim that demon to get. He's coming out. And all you need is a mustard seed, and you all have a measure, which is more than a mustard seed. So you got enough.